You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Show number 145.
Hello.
And, man, I love that Pat Travers theme music. That's
I knew you.
That is so great. We're so honored to have that, aren't we? Thank you, Pat Travers.
And you're welcome.
You're a faithful manager and for the album, putting it straight. Sorry that I printed front and back
on these sheets.
It kind of throws me off a little bit. You know, I know I'm trying to save, you know, some
trees.
Wow, look, there's a whole group of people that just came in on tour buses.
I mean, dozens. I think they were the Rotary.
I hope they're here for the cars.
They're here to see the show.
Yes. Hello, everybody. It's our studio audience.
There was a show in Branson, Missouri called Patsy Cline Remembered, and a tour bus group went there, and they got out, and the show started, and the head of the tour bus company came to the manager of the theater and said, "We'd like our money back." And they said, "Why?" And they said, "Because Patsy's not here." And the manager said she died 40 years ago. So, well, they're hoping that they're not coming here to see dead people.
Yes.
So, anyway, show number 145, which is surprising.
That's a lot of shows.
That's a lot of shows.
Under our belt.
Under our belt. Some are best of. They're not all.
That's right.
And we've got a little lull in the guest process here lately, but we've got some good guests coming up very soon.
Nice.
Really good stuff.
Really?
Our friend Judy Stropas is like the mother load of guests. She knows everybody.
She's the central hub to car world.
She is the hub of there's no 7 degree of separation to Judy. What's his name?
Kevin Bacon. 6 degrees.
6 degrees. She's 1 degree. She knows everybody. Mm-hmm. So, but again, thanks to the Pat Travers Band. And, don't forget, if you haven't signed up for a couple of things that we do, please do. Our newsletter, which you can sign up for on our website, which is classicautomall.com. And you can get we send it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, we might send two in a month, only if we got something special going on or something different. But, it's once a month. You sign up for it. We talk about new inventory that's, come into the building.
Yes.
And we talk about, funny things as well, too. And so we just have a lot of things going on that's cool. And, of course, also, so our first air date on this show will be the 15th of June.
That's Saturday.
So that's Saturday. It'll be the day before Father's Day. So happy Father's Day.
That's right. Happy Father's Day.
And pardon me if I'm a little bit off today. I had to give blood this morning.
You did? You had to give blood?
Well, I mean, I guess I didn't have to.
You volunteered to give blood?
Well, I didn't volunteer to either. It was required by my doctor. He likes me to get my blood work done every 6 months.
Absolutely.
Because of certain
ailments. Age.
And all of that. But there's nothing, you know, and of course I never make an appointment.
That's never a good idea because
you go in and there's 400 people in there. Yeah. They've all made appointments like you're supposed to. And here I am not making an appointment. And they always give you that look like, did you make an appointment? Well, no, I didn't.
Well, I got a great place in Fort Washington and never make an appointment.
And you just go in?
Yeah, short wait usually. And they have all your records in there already. It's great. I like to check the oil, as they say.
It's not a bad idea to do. And they do when they give you that report anymore. I mean, it tells everything about you. It is like a check in the oil thing.
It is.
It's a status update of your body, 100%. What your potassium is, what your cholesterol is.
Yep.
But the important thing, or one of the most important things, is the PSA.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for, that will determine if you've got a problem with your prostate.
Right.
And so it's very important to check that, because that's one of those things that's become more and more common with people. And it must be because we're living longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, oh, did you have that in your family? Was that part of, you know, when you were growing up? Oh, I don't know. Nobody lived long enough for that to happen, you know.
That's true.
My grandfather lived to 93, though.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good genetics.
When he was 91, he said, the doctor told him he had to quit smoking and drinking. It was going to kill him. He said, look, I got smoking and drinking in jeopardy. That's my whole life. So I'm not quitting any of those. So just got back from Cape May.
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yes.
And what a great place.
Birding capital of the East Coast.
Actually. Birding?
It's the bird watching capital of the
is
East Coast.
Is it really?
It is. All the birds migrate to that point.
I saw no birds.
No, that's all right.
I saw
they're
zero
there.
Birds.
They're there.
I saw zero birds when I was there.
And near us is Audubon, PA, which is named after John Audubon, and I just found that they have a birding center there.
Well, so good.
Yes, it's which I helped build, actually.
So when the bird show starts, you helped build it.
I did. I was there.
We have birds here. Thunderbirds, firebirds.
Oh,
Roadrunners.
We saw some great cars in Cape May. A couple of Cobra replicas driving by. We saw a couple of nice Mustangs cruising around. You're seeing more and more classics on the road than you ever used to see. It used to be it would be once in a million you'd see something classic or collectible or cool. And now it seems like, gosh, every day when you're out, you're seeing something.
It's
cool.
True, especially when the weather is like it is the last couple of days. You just cars everywhere.
The weather's been perfect. Mm-hmm. We just sold a big fancy Rolls Royce Phantom 2 to Portugal.
Wow!
And the truck that came to pick it up was like it looks like a box truck.
It did.
And we're like, a reliable has a box truck.
They're getting into the moving business.
What are they got? Are they coming to get our sofas or our tables or no? They were here to pick up the car, and the box truck is actually a rollback.
Oh, that's wild!
So it tilts down, and slides back on hydraulics. And the car drives in it. And so we were very surprised because when they pulled over, like, we don't have a loading dock. I don't know how they're going to get this car on this trailer. And, of course, then it tilted down and away it went.
Makes sense.
Technology. And welcome to the bus group that just came in. I'm not sure who it is, but
yeah. How long is the drive to Portugal? By the way,
it's a long drive. Yeah, you got
a smaller truck for it.
Panama Canal thing gets in the way.
But, you got to get a good run to jump it.
Yeah, good run.
You got to get a Smokey and the Bandit type run.
I was going to say Dukes of Hazzard
or Hooper. You ever see Hooper? The movie Hooper.
Sure,
you're the worst liar.
Hooper's great.
Yeah.
That's Burt Reynolds.
It's another Burt Reynolds movie. Yeah, but that was an easy guess. You know my favorite movie, White Lightning.
That's right.
That's a great
You've
movie.
Told me
and
that
Gator.
Many times.
And Gator. I like Gator.
Who did the song from Hooper? Was it Jerry Reed, stuntman?
Oh, that's right. I don't remember, but it probably was Jerry. If it was anybody, it was Jerry Reed.
If you know, podcast at classicautomall.com is our email address.
Our trivia question of the day. We might talk about cars once we get
there
going
we go.
Here today.
That'd be nice.
New cars in inventory? How many do you think?
It feels like a ton to me, but that's because I look at
you write every
I look at the list every day. I don't know, 950.
926. You're way off. You're so far off.
I am. It doesn't matter. It's what, you know how many cars I see in inventory? One.
One at a time.
One at a time.
Yeah. Don't forget to catch us on WWDB 860 AM. We air on Saturday mornings at 7 AM. That's a local Philly station. Mm-hmm. And then also on their 97.5 simulcast HD2. Still don't understand what that means.
That's all right.
Y'all have explained it to me.
Yeah, but for you fanatic listeners, if you got an HD radio, click over one to the right.
Do your thing.
There we are.
Do your thing, as they say.
And if you're listening in Philly, we'd love to hear from you. Podcast at classicautomall.com. Tell us about your car. You know, this car story, car pictures, send to us. Well, maybe we'll cover it.
And earlier I was talking about signing up for our newsletter, but the other things that you can do is subscribe to our channel on YouTube, like us on Facebook, like us on TikTok. How's the TikTok thing doing?
Amazing.
We did that last week. Last we talked, we were at 700,000.
It's over 900,000 views on the 87 Cutlass Supreme.
But you put the Batmobile on there and you get 100.
Yeah, I didn't know it as well.
Which you would think it would, right?
Or any kind of rare car. It's the common ones that were common in, you know, for our age, 50s and 60s, back in the day, you know, Cutlass Supremes were everywhere.
Oh my God, they were. Yeah. But it's funny how they elicit an emotional response more so than a lot of things that we put on there that are, you know, the Pantera GT5S or the Rolls Phantom 2 that we just sold or any of these things that are super rare and super exotic and super people love them.
Yes.
And yet more people are looking at it just a regular old ho-hum. And I don't,
it's probably where the memories live.
Yeah. But it's just funny that becomes so popular.
Well, it has to do with the algorithm too. Somehow it gets picked up and for whatever reason, Oldsmobile,
somehow works.
Yeah.
And those algorithms, they'll get,
cause
they
did Grand Nationals the following week.
Right.
And it didn't hit.
And they're way more popular.
Exactly. You know, you get way more comments. You would think you would get more comments on the Grand Nationals, but it didn't.
That was Ralphie's dad in the Christmas story.
Yeah.
His dad was an Oldsmobile man.
Well, there you go. A lot of people were Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, there, you know, we always said that the rich guys drove Oldsmobiles and Buicks and the middle class guys drove the Cadillacs and the Lincolns.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that, where do we sell cars the past?
Where did they go?
Week. Would imagine there would probably be one sold to Gardena, California, Springfield, Missouri, just or my old stomping grounds.
There you go.
Lake Charles, Louisiana, Dover, Pennsylvania, Catamet, Massachusetts, Rochester, New York, Aiken, South Carolina, Narvon, Pennsylvania, Pottstown, Pennsylvania, Drewmore, Pennsylvania, Guy's Mills or Guy's Mills, Pennsylvania, Raymond, Maine, Vienna Sausage, West Virginia. Ever had a Vienna sausage?
No.
Oh, yummy.
What's the abbreviation for Maine? M-E.
M-E.
Got it.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Wow.
Albuquerque,
New Mexico.
New Mexico, and Wayne, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So.
8, 9, 10, 11 states.
Wow.
And several
I saw a New Mexico license plate yesterday that has a chili pepper on it.
Oh, wow.
Nice,
it was
nice.
Black and red and yellow and just looks awesome.
I've seen that. Yep. Very cool.
I've never seen that, so I think y'all are both lying. Somehow you guys have colluded on this
If you
this
haven't
story.
Seen it, it doesn't exist.
It does not exist if I've never seen it. Because I've seen everything.
Yes.
You've I've seen been it everywhere.
You've seen it all.
I've been to Reno, Fargo, Wichita.
That's a song, isn't it?
Yes, I promise. I'm not going to sing. You never want to hear that. Some of the new arrivals, and first one, this thing is so cool. The 2020. Now you say that doesn't sound like a classic car, Stuart.
Right.
But it's a collectible car and it's really checks all the right boxes. 2020 Lexus RCF Coupe, ultra wide over red, one owner, 2,200 actual miles, one of 400 built, 8-speed automatic. It's got a 5-liter double overhead cam V8. Brembo carbon ceramic brakes.
Right.
Which,
the engine's tweaked, by the way. It's not your standard Lexus engine. Go ahead.
Which was plenty, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
It was probably, 500 horsepower or
something? The RCFs were like in the fours.
Yeah, four something. Yeah. This one's five something, right? Did we say that?
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
It's also got my favorite brakes, the Brembo carbon ceramic brakes. Mm-hmm. That you have to replace them, you better take out a loan.
That's why it's only got 2,200 miles.
That's right.
Don't break.
Easy on the brakes.
Right.
We don't want to mess up the brakes. Anyway, when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about the Lexus and some other cool Lexi. What's the plural of Lexus?
Yes.
Lexi? No, it's not. It's just still Lexus.
And the origin of the word Lexus. We'll get back to that.
Lexus Nexus?
Mm-hmm.
Could be. When we return, we'll catch you on the Classic Auto Mall show.
The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom. It's a real indoor mall. If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are. We sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at classicautomall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
It's a museum, it's a showroom, it's an experience. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania is 336,000 square feet of rare, custom, and specialty automobiles on display and on consignment. From the earliest production cars to modern exotics, Classic Auto Mall is a feast for the eyes and the memories. Stroll through time in any season in this climate-controlled facility that you simply have to see to believe. Admission is free, just remember to bring comfortable shoes.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
So when we were talking before our little
when
break
we were last
here,
talking.
When we were last talking, we were talking about the new Lexus RCF that's in inventory. And this thing is a bad boy. It's not your everyday car. Not everybody's going to want a car that's got this kind of power.
Super high performance.
Super high performance. Mm-hmm. And it's... You know, it's like an M3 BMW or even the AMG Mercedes.
Yeah.
They're quirky, mm-hmm. and they're not for everybody. But if they are for you, oh my, these things are bad boys. It's basically a luxury cruising, sports car. Mm-hmm. It's not a grand tourer, I guess, as much as, you know, that's a car that's got enough power. This thing is really an all-out, almost a race car.
It is. It's actually, and it's somewhere in the name of the Track Edition or Track Coupe or something like that, but it is Track Edition. Only 50 of them were imported to the United States out of the 400.
Out of the 400.
Or 40 or 50 of them. So there's not many here, and so it's really cool to have one, actually.
Yeah, it's the RCF Track. I forgot to mention that when we were talking about that. And Lexus stands for what?
Yeah, I just learned this last weekend. It's maybe luxury exported to the United States. They needed a name for the cars they were.
U.S.
Yeah, the LEX is for export and U.S. is for United States, and that's how they came up with the name Lexus. The interesting notation about Lexus, the logo, the L logo, was designed by Molly, can't think of his last name, but he designed the Grand National, the Buick Grand National. Same guy who designed the Buick Grand National exterior designed the logo. He's an artist.
Interesting, though, that a guy would go from a domestic to an import. Usually, once you're a Lexus guy or a Japanese car guy or a German car guy or a domestic car guy, domestic to us, then that's what you are.
Yeah, but he was an artist, so he worked on a lot of different automobiles, and it's an interesting connection to Grand National.
And I love that L in Lexus. I think
it's
cool.
It's very nice, and they haven't changed it.
They haven't changed it in all these years since. Well, 89, I think, is when Lexus...
Yeah, yeah, first, 88, 89, something like that.
And, of course, the Acura Legend beat them to market, 87, 88, and 89. Mm-hmm. Were very cool little cars. If you never saw those back in the day, the little Legend coupes were really cool. And then, of course, in the 90s, they came out with that newer Legend body style, a little bit bigger motor, which were really cool looking as well, too. And then when you see them... And you see them, you know, well preserved or well maintained. Boy, they bring big money.
They do. Yep.
They're.
If it's a new model, can it immediately be a Legend?
If they're limited edition like this one, there's only 400 of them.
400, and arguably of the Track Edition, only 40 or 50 were.
It's 50 in the United States, because I said in the write up that if every state had one, they would only have one. If every state could get one, they would only have one. Yeah.
Isn't that funny though? They have allocations for dealers and stuff for different cars, and you have to hit certain benchmarks within your dealership in order to get an allocation of the new Corvette or the Z06 Corvette or the Z01 Camaro or whatever. And if you don't hit it, if you're that rural guy with a Chevy dealer down in, North Carolina.
Morgantown.
In Morgantown, and you got 12 cars in inventory, you probably don't get the new Corvette, right?
Right.
And I guess there's not much you can do about it. You can't make them. Mm. And before we went to break, we were talking about the Brembo carbon ceramic brakes. Now, these things are awesome brakes. They'll stop you on a dime, and they last a long time. But when they go wrong, $5,000 per rotor.
Okay. But they last They last longer than
I haven't proven
ceramic
this yet.
Or whatever.
I haven't. Well, these are ceramic.
Oh, what was the normal material? Asbestos, they say?
Probably asbestos.
That probably got my dad at Bendix years ago.
I would imagine it probably would have. Little did we know what we know now, and we'd sure like to have known back then, right?
Yes.
This Lexus RCF Coupe is amazing. We'll talk a little bit more Lexus in the next segment. But other new arrival is the 1965 Chevrolet Corvette Coupe. Glen Green over Green, 374 horse, 350 cubic inch blueprinted crate motor. And you think, it doesn't sound like a lot of horsepower, but back in the 60s, if you'd have had something with that kind of horsepower, it was pretty special. A lot of cars didn't have a lot. Of course, the Corvettes had up to in 65, 6, and 7. 65, the biggest motor was a 396, I think you get. And then 66 and 67, you get the 427. 390 horse or 435 horse. The 435 horse was, impractical too. I mean, it was it's like a K-code Mustang, the highest iteration of the 289 that they put in the Mustangs in the 60s. The K-code was the one that had the most power, but temperamental.
Yeah.
They had a tendency to overheat. Mm-hmm. They were, they would foul plugs a lot. They just, you almost had to drive them like you were driving in a race everywhere you drove them. And if you didn't, things would happen to them that were not pleasing.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like the Shelby Cobras and Mustang Cobras, I should say.
Yeah, they were just meant to be driven hard. And this 65 Corvette, it's got a Powerglide 2-speed automatic, lots of upgrades, fun car to drive, 4-wheel power disc brakes, which is great.
Yep.
You want good brakes on a car. there's so many cars that are out there that the brakes are They're just marginal, even if they're working exactly like they're supposed to work. But those old drum brakes take a little while to stop, and especially when you got a big piece of iron sitting on top of
it. All those old big cars that I'm writing up from the 40s, they're all mechanical drum brakes.
Mechanical drum brakes.
We didn't know what we didn't know.
And even the Camaros and the Firebirds of the era, they were heavy, relatively speaking. And when you, unless you had the disc brake option, which was kind of a cool upgrade if you could get it. But a lot of people put disc brakes on cars. Even though everything about the car is original, they'll add disc brakes and radial tires.
Right.
And I say no harm, no foul, because it's safer, it's a better experience,
it's not a visual, not always a visual modification either.
Yeah, unless you see the big Brembo brake thing.
But, paint them red.
Yeah, but most people don't do that on a 65 right. Corvette or a, you know, a 60s, 50s, 40s car.
Yep.
But you want to have that. The radial tires make a huge improvement, because if you've ever gone over some uneven pavement in a bias ply tire, you'll pray for radial tires.
For sure.
Because they have a tendency to just start wandering.
Yeah, technology's come a long way in the last
years. That happens to new tires as well, too. I mean, if you get some of these P7 or P0 Pirellis or the, what are the ones that Michelin makes? The I can't remember anyway. But if you hit an expansion joint or something on the turnpike and it separates those metal cords inside that tire, it feels like you're hydroplaning, even in the dry weather.
Yeah.
And these real low-profile side walls, too. Yeah. I don't know. That's got to be like riding on hard rubber.
Well, and they put those even on SUVs, too, those little teeny. I mean, listen, I don't need off-roading tires. I'm not going through the Sahara or through, you know, the Poconos. But it certainly doesn't need to be low-profile tires on an SUV that will very rarely go off-road. They should probably make it, you know, optional. Look, do you want it more of a performance street version, which would be the AMG version of a Mercedes, for example? And that would have the thin, narrow tires, and you get that because it's a high-performance SUV. But on the regular one, you would think that they would put something a little higher profile, which is what happened with an SUV that we bought. One year, they had the low-profile tires, and then the next version that came out, they had added the bigger tires, and I'm sure they got complaints.
Oh, right.
Although, who do you complain to? I mean, and I should complain.
I guess that you complain to the dealer, and the dealers accumulate all those complaints and send them to the manufacturer and say, hey, look, those tires are not working on this car.
But it's funny, sometimes when you go to the dealer, they'll say, there'll be something wrong with your car, and you'll say, it does this, and they'll say, well, we couldn't make it, we couldn't replicate it, so sorry.
Happens all the time.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, find it.
Yeah.
You know, I hear it. I see it. I smell it. I, whatever it is.
Right.
Fix it. Find it.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be difficult here, but maybe I am. Other new arrival, the 2013 Ford Mustang Boss 302, in deference to Parnell and Jones, who just passed
away
a couple of weeks ago.
R.I.P.
Yeah. He drove a Mustang Boss 302 back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
School bus yellow over charcoal black.
That's actually the name of the color.
School bus yellow.
It is.
Yeah. And somehow we had it orange in the spec side, not your fault.
Right, right.
In the spec side, not Justin's fault either. I think it was just put in that way when it first came in and never got changed.
Oh.
And the consigner said, hey, that's not orange.
Interesting.
And we said, thank you. We appreciate it when people point out things, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean,
I want to correct it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to be scolded. I don't like to have my finger pointed in my face or, you know, poking me in the chest.
Right.
But, if you say, hey, I was looking at my description and I noticed that you said it was a 4-speed and it's an automatic.
I don't hear any complaints. I guess they go right to Justin or you, but everything's.
Well, we try to keep the negatives off your plate. We know that you're.
I would like to know if I made a mistake, though.
We know that you're fragile.
I'm an artist.
He's an artist, by God, and we don't want to hurt your feelings.
I see.
We want to keep you in the positive vein.
Well.
We'll tell you if there's something.
I've written 350 cars. I haven't made one mistake. So apparently, that's what I'm saying.
Nobody's told him.
Nobody's told him.
Yeah, now he's jinxed too.
And then, you know, it's funny. They always say that when you fire somebody from a job, that they should have seen it coming.
I don't see it.
So you would have reprimanded them. You would have told them that they were doing a poor job. You can't just go, you know, for months you've been doing this wrong and you're fired.
Blindside.
It's like, well, wait a minute. But you could do like George Costanza if you get fired and just show up to work on Monday.
I'm just going to send you some manuscripts of cars.
Just keep sending them.
Are you serious about that?
I don't think I got fired.
Here's the latest car. What's the problem?
Yeah, what's the problem? So back to the 13 Ford Mustang Boss 302, 4,274 actual miles, one of 856 built. It's got the 444 horsepower Roadrunner 5-liter V8. I bet this thing's a blast to drive. 6-speed manual, Recaro seats.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that very often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the high-performance Mustangs, they put Recaros.
Do you see aftermarket? I don't see even aftermarket
Recaros hardly anymore. Right.
They're either through the manufacturer.
I think that was like our era thing.
I think
like
it was,
put in
too.
A Camaro or Trans Am or something. But
they had the rainbow color on the back of the Recaro. Recaro seats were like the ultimate to me. they were not Corbeau, which were just basically cocoons.
Racing seats.
With huge side pods on them. They were somewhat user-friendly. You could get in and out of them. Although there were some black leather ones they made back in the day that had some serious bolsters, and you had to kind of weave your way into them. But boy, I always wanted to make a Camaro like the ultimate pro touring. Even back before pro touring was a thing, and put Recaro seats in it, and a 6-speed manual, and you know, better wheels and tires, and all that. I still want to do that.
So that's an example of an aftermarket company that got so good and successful that the manufacturer said, hey, we want to use, it's kind of like the AMG thing. Yeah, we want to use your stuff in our cars all the time.
Yeah, Mercedes. Eddie Bauer.
Mercedes just bought AMG. Not just bought, but I mean, they just decided we're going to buy them. What the heck? And I think, you know, that happened with sound systems. You know, you used to be able to buy aftermarket stereos. And back in the day, Alpine was a really great brand in the car stereo world. But the real piece de resistance, the one you really wanted if you could afford it, was the Nakamichi cassette deck in your car. Black and just serious performance. And you wanted the ADS box speakers. Those were really cool. They were removable, and you could take them out and put them on the roof.
Cool.
Or whatever.
Have you seen a Jeep wagon? I'm sorry, not a Jeep wagon. A Wagoneer. They're setting their own brand.
Just like Bronco.
And it's got, as a DJ, it has the big VU meters. It's a Macintosh.
Yeah.
It's a glass screen Macintosh.
I wanted to buy it just for the VU meters.
Oh, it's so cool.
Because if you remember, they still make them. Macintosh has this screen on all their power amps, and it's a blue lit with the VU meters and watching the power output.
Yeah, there's a place in Delaware called Grooves and Tubes, and he sells a lot
of
stuff.
Yeah. Huh. There was some great equipment back in the day. I had a great stereo that consisted of Nakamichi cassette, B&O turntable, Klipsch Heresy speakers, which were the little small clips. They were badass. They were so cool. They weren't the corner horns, and they weren't the La Scalas even, but they were really
cool.
You are
really talking a different language.
And did you say Girard turntable or Girard?
I said Girard, I think, but I had the B&O, which was really the very high tech European looking turntable. It probably wasn't the best one on the market, but it was the coolest looking one on the market.
I knew a guy that sold some super high end stuff, and he said, "I want to show you a $6,000 turntable."
Right.
I said, $6,000. He says, "Well, first of all, it sounds really good." I said, well, I would hope so, but it was in a formed piece of plexiglass or Lexan, whatever you call it. So it was a work of art.
Right.
And that's what made it so.
When we return to the stereo hour with Stuart, we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
NJR.
No matter what you think is a classic car, you'll probably find one at Classic Auto Mall. How about a two-owner 2003 Chevrolet Corvette Coupe with 5,105 actual miles? Like trucks? Maybe a 66 Chevrolet C10 Stepside with a 350 V8 and a TCI 700R4 automatic transmission, or a 1984 Chevy C10 short bed, chopped, shaved, louvered, and a nearly new 355 V8. How about true classics like a 1926 Pontiac Series 627-665. It's the first year Pontiac with multiple AACA awards. And let's not forget Mustangs, like a 67 hardtop, three owners, and a fully known history, or a 1998 Mustang Cobra convertible with 38,209 actual miles, one of just 343 built. So whatever floats your boat or opens your garage, with over 1,000 constantly changing vehicles, you'll probably find it at ClassicAutoMall.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783 or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Before we took the break, we were talking about the car stereo world and home stereo world as well, too. I always had a really great car stereo mm-hmm. and always a great home stereo, but mostly car. And the reason being was because I couldn't listen to my music as loud at home, either the ex-wife or hence the ex-wife. Or
before you were married, though.
Well, that, too. And mom and dad.
Parents, yeah.
Yeah, mom and dad didn't particularly care.
Or were you living with your ex-wife in your parents' house?
Like, yes, we were.
Turn that music down.
No, thank goodness I never lived with my bride. Yeah, she was like, I'm on their side. No, we never lived,
red
thank
flag.
God. We never, thank God, lived in our parents'
I had side. Reverb in my car, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A Craig Power Play amplifier,
Craig,
too. Those were Craig's.
Right,
and,
right.
And the Super Tuner Pioneer mm-hmm. had the big knob on it that you could tune in.
Any kind of thing that lit up was impressive to me.
That?
Like,
well,
colors.
I had the the Alpine cassette deck that when you put it in, it's slid in
yes.
and lowered it down.
Yeah,
it wasn't
cool.
just like jamming
that's
in.
Cool.
And
mm-hmm.
when you hit the eject button, jam it out. If you hit the eject button hard enough, you could just, it just come flying out.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I was watching a thing on the Mega Brands That Made America. Mm-hmm. They talked about 8-tracks and cassettes and CDs. And CDs became from those laser disc movies that you used to see. Remember
oh, wow.
they were the large pizza pie looking?
Right, right.
Like a record
yep.
size, but they were disc. And if you treated a disc properly,
mm-hmm.
it would last forever. It wouldn't degrade in sound. It wouldn't do anything yeah. different. But unfortunately, people didn't always.
They get scratched up.
Well, because when you stack them up, you know, you got them sitting on a shelf.
It's interesting between the 60s and 2000 how technology of video and audio changed.
Because
it was reel-to-reel tape. Then it was the 8-track. Cartridges, mm-hmm. then cassettes, then it was the CDs, and then
no, it's MP3.
And the same thing with video. And video discs, what was that? A 5-year?
I don't even think it was that long.
Sure.
Yeah. It didn't even seem 5 years. It seemed like about 18 months.
Mainstream. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's just everything's on a flash drive
yeah.
and streamed.
Yeah.
Which is so cool because if you think about it, I mean, my album collection would take up most of this room.
Wow.
Yeah. And my 8-track collection would take up more than this room, and my cassette collection would take up about half this room, CD about half this room.
Yeah.
So, and to now to have everything right here,
yeah,
right here in your little old pocket, it's amazing. And I resisted using my iPhone for my music.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, I don't like things connected,
mm-hmm.
you know, like YouTube and Google now.
Yeah, everything.
You're supposed
connected.
To be connected, and you have to be this, and you log on to one, and you have to. It's like I don't want it all connected. I want some separation.
Right.
I wanted that song, Keep It Separated.
Keep It Separated.
So you knew that song.
Yeah,
I saw that on a promo for Formula One. We were going up against each other.
Right.
By the way, another big win.
Yeah, yeah, big win. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the season, especially next year when Lewis Hamilton goes to Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a kind of a cool thing because Ferrari had a dismal showing in Canada last
weekend.
Yeah, they didn't do well. Two DNFs, so one for a crash and one for a mechanical failure. But either way, in Formula One, there is no room for error. You can't do that. So we were talking about car stereos, and you were belittling me and saying that you should never have a good car stereo because you should be listening to your engine.
I wouldn't belittle you, sir.
That's what Jay Leno says. I don't listen to the music. I like to listen to
the engine.
Yeah, I see.
But what if you got a minivan? Then you really need a...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But there were certain places that you would listen to the music and certain places you would listen to the motor.
Uh-huh.
We had a road called Nubbins Ridge.
Oh, yeah, Nubbins Ridge.
The old Nubbins
outside
Ridge.
Outside of Nashville.
Yeah, no, in Knoxville.
Knoxville.
And and that was our little road course we did. And you had to do it at night because if you did it at night, you sat at the top of the ridge and you could see if there was any cars coming by their headlights.
Yeah, yeah.
And if there was no cars coming, you knew you could flat out do it. And we flat out did it.
Wow.
And that thing, there was a little S-curve at the end. And if we weren't completely almost sideways coming out of that S-curve, then it wasn't a good run.
That's cool.
And we started out the run where we pulled up to the top. Whoever's in the car had to buckle their seatbelts because they probably didn't have them buckled before. My buddy, who was my co-pilot, and I both lit up a cigarette.
Oh, sure.
And put the car down into first, took a big draw off the cigarette, floored it, flicked it out the window just before you went into second gear and did Nubbins Ridge. And it was this great little, probably it was only a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles at the most, but it was fun.
That's cool.
I knew every, you know, every inch of it and every little bump and nuance. And so that was our, and we do that just about every night. And I don't know why the neighbors didn't say, hey, about 9:15, these idiots are going to be here in this gray Trans Am. Why don't you rest them? Maybe they appreciate it.
Sounds like Dead Man's Curve at the end there.
Yeah, a little. And of course, that's where, and then it went up the hill and you went past the actual neighborhood and then came to a stop sign and then usually smoke coming out of the car. Right. And then you turn the stereo back up and everybody that was in the car would catch their breath. And we had many people who said, I'm never riding with you again, ever in the history of ever.
It reminds me of, you probably drove Laurel Canyon, Coldwater Canyon out in LA and there was always crowded, Mulholland. And there's always cars. I mean, it's not like you can, but I was coming home at 3 o'clock one morning in the Trans Am and just flying down Laurel Canyon and I lost my rear wheels and I did a 360, a complete 360. No cars around.
Stayed on the road?
Stayed on the road. Nice. Danny Sullivan. Boom. Right out.
Spin and win.
Thank goodness nobody was on the road.
There's a lot of places you can go wrong. And Laurel Canyon, I went through more breaks in my, I had my Trans Am out there, and then I got a 78 Z28, when I was living out there. 21% interest. In the 80s.
That's right.
And that Laurel Canyon road was just the worst on brakes because you almost couldn't stay off of them, especially during the day.
Right. It's very steep.
Mm-hmm. And lots of traffic and lots of people stopping and going. And so you ended up, you know, you hated it, but you were on your brakes the whole time and they glazed over. And once they glazed over, you were done.
Yeah.
I love that Z28. It was great. It was 78. It was tobacco brown, tan interior, automatic, but it would chirp the wheels and going into second gear, which awesome. Everybody thought was like.
We probably crossed paths at some point in LA, right? What year were you there?
81, 2, 3, somewhere.
Oh, one to 2002?
No, to 83, like 3 years.
Oh, just 3 years?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't get there till 85.
Yeah, so we probably didn't cross paths.
No, we did not cross
paths. Unless I had come back for a visit. No.
Oh.
I was there till 83 and then got married and moved to Knoxville.
Gotcha.
Right after the US Festival.
Smart.
The 83 US Festival where Van Halen and Triumph, the Scorpions, and Ozzy Osbourne and Motley Crue. And
they played where, in LA?
At San Bernardino, in San Bernardino.
Oh, okay, wow.
The Steve Wozniak. The US Festival.
Of the US? Yeah. I was too young. I was still in high school.
And so you weren't into rock and roll?
Elvis and Bruce. That's all I listened to.
You must have been odd in high school.
Yes, I was odd.
You know,
I'm odd now.
Yeah, what's changed?
Yeah, nothing.
So the US Festival was this huge concert in San Bernardino, California, put on by Steve Wozniak.
Okay.
And they had three different days. They did it 2 years, 82 and then in 1983. In 83, they had the whatever day, they had a country day, and then they had the hard rock day on Sunday. Van Halen was the headliner. Mm. Scorpions were the second headliner, which are great.
Mm-hmm.
Triumph was the third headliner. Motley Crue, Ozzy Osbourne, Judas Priest, and I don't remember. Was there anybody else?
Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah. No.
Taylor Swift. And it was great. It was, I wouldn't go to it today for all the night
right.
because it was dusty and hot. And
yeah, but when you're 22 years old.
Sun all day long.
Perfect.
And see, folks, this is not just a car show.
Right. So $20 ticket got you in for the whole day, you know. And we finally, when it got to the end, we had kind of weaseled our way up almost to the very front of the thing. We got up close enough where you could really see it, but not too close where you were just in that scrum of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the day, there was a thing called festival seating.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't just get to buy a ticket and have a nice little reserved chair for yourself. It was like they opened the gates and you ran to your spot and you staked it out. And you went, this is my spot. And so And that happened either at outdoor venues or even indoor venues, like the Coliseum we used to see our concerts in. It was festival seating.
Yep.
It was first come, first serve.
I remember running into the Coliseum several times.
We saw Lynyrd Skynyrd in 1976 at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, and we ran in and got it. My buddy was a year older than me. I was 14 at the time. He was 15. Our parents dropped us off. Little did they know what was going on in there. And so we got all the way to the front row. Standing on the floor of the Coliseum, and the barricade gave way.
Oh, wow.
And so we even moved up to the stage. There usually was a barricade with about five, 6 feet of buffer zone.
Yep.
That was gone, and there's scaffolding, And my buddy and I climbed up on the scaffolding and laid our arms on the stage and watched Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Ronnie Van Zandt from Lynyrd Skynyrd handed us a Jack and Coke.
No way.
I was 14 years old. Wow. Took a big swig of it. My buddy took a big swig of it, handed it back to him. Well, we were.
I bet there's photographs of that somewhere.
There probably is. Will be somewhere that'll come back to haunt me. And of course, you know, Southern rock had a cycle when you were from the South. When you were young, you loved it. Then you went through a period where you were too cool for Southern rock. You were into that European rock and roll, Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and then Van Halen and Aerosmith and all that. Right. And then, Southern rock, I moved to California, and I walked into the Rainbow Bar and Grill, and they're playing Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yep. I'm like, well, golly, maybe it is cool again. Maybe I need to rethink this if the L.A. people are listening to it. And I always drank, when I lived in L.A., a Jack and Water. So that was a real Southern thing. Because they would always say, oh, Jack and Water.
Telltale.
Kind of got off our new inventory.
Back to the new inventory.
Yeah, but it's fun.
It is fun. So, the Boss 302, if you get a chance, just come in and see this thing. 4,200 miles, 6-speed manual, all kinds of documentation comes with it. And you can't miss it. If you're shy, I would recommend another car. But if you like a little attention, the school bus yellow will certainly
do it. It's a bright color. But we got lots of performance Mustang, late model performance Mustangs in inventory.
Well, as we said last week, nobody would have heard that. But as we said last week, if you had have heard it, we had 47 Corvettes, 48 Camaros, and 49 Mustangs or something, which was really funny to have that in inventory. But we just got in a 1991 911 Carrera 4. The 4 designation is all-wheel drive. The 2 would be two-wheel drive. 6 would be wrong.
Right.
There is no 6-wheel
drive.
That's
correct.
Yeah, unless you have a Pinsgauer.
Army vehicle.
Yeah, a Pinsgauer or a... what else has it? Yeah. Oh, some of those new SUVs, the G-Wagon Mercedes, if they make the 6-wheelers.
Oh, yeah. What are they called?
They call it expensive is what they're called.
Gaudy.
Yeah. The Porsche is... And it's Porsche, not it Porsche or Porsche.
That's correct.
You know, and even seasoned car people say Porsche. And I don't know, is it one of those things that it's become acceptable to say Porsche?
It's Porsche if you, it's Porsche if you own one and Porsche if you don't, basically.
There you go. Black over magenta.
Yes, it is.
Which is an odd color. But very desirable color back in the day and a very desirable model. And of course, it's got the single overhead cam flat 6. Which is a screaming motor. I mean, those things are just bad boys. I don't care if it's only got 250 horsepower. They're a blast to drive. They sound cool. They're a lot of power for a 6-cylinder. My Carrera S, the 06, has 350 horsepower, which is not a lot in some...
Yeah, some circles.
Some circles.
It's a small car, though.
But it's a small car, and it's point and shoot. I mean, you just point it, and it goes in that direction.
I don't believe you. I need to take that out and just test confirm that.
All right.
You need to test every car here.
Well,
at Classic
Auto. If we would get those GoPro things going, we'd go out and start doing some test drives.
Just need some mounts. By the way, if you're in the Philadelphia area today, Saturday, June 15th, 1 p.m., Grid Icons over at Porsche Warrington, which is the former Hobart Porsche dealership from way back when and Sloan and all that. Grid Icons, so they have some modified Porsches out on display. So
really?
It's a free event, or you can buy a VIP pass.
Will there be Porsche drivers and racers there?
There's a couple of old track cars there, but it's mostly like modified street cars.
And will there be any Porsche drivers from the day?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Al Hobart wouldn't be there, obviously.
But none of the Hobarts will be there, I don't think. But it's mostly like modern street sort of modified Porsches.
Sure.
But lots of activities out there and good time. 611 in Warrington.
And that's today.
Not a sponsor, by the way.
Neither is this, but yeah,
that's right.
We still have it.
Yeah, June 15th, 1 p.m.
Yeah. And last but not least, the 1937 MGTA Roadster. This is the coolest. I didn't know it was a 1937. I didn't realize it was that old
I
first saw this car. Because it looks very similar to the TD and the TF. Let me rephrase it. It looks somewhat similar to the TD or the TF, but certainly not... it's a 1937.
Yeah, it's old.
I mean, red over black, stunning restoration, all the restoration invoices, 4-speed manual, kind of unusual from that era, and just a dynamite car. And if you get a chance, go on our website, classicautomall.com, and you can see all of the new inventory. You can see everything that we've got and everything that we sold as well, too. We have a whole sold category that's got 972 pages or now. So when we return, we'll talk a little more about music or cars or food.
Whatever comes up.
See ya.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2 only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show only right here on America's Web Radio.
It's a museum, it's a showroom, it's an experience. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania is 336,000 square feet of rare, custom, and specialty automobiles on display and on consignment. From the earliest production cars to modern exotics, Classic Auto Mall is a feast for the eyes and the memories. Stroll through time in any season in this climate-controlled facility that you simply have to see to believe. Admission is free. Just remember to bring comfortable shoes.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall Music Variety Show.
Yeah.
We're going to have, what was the act that preceded the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show? Was it,
Who remembers?
Is that a trivia question?
Wow. Yeah, it is a trivia question.
Was there music before the Beatles?
It was like some kind of flying monkey or something. Wow. There was some, the Walinda brother.
Red Skeleton.
The plate spinner.
Yeah, something like the plate spinner. I forgot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy was pretty cool. So we were talking about an MGTA Roadster. Mm-hmm. Could reach almost 80 miles per hour, 0 to 60 time of 23.1 seconds.
That's amazing.
And, you know, you say, well, that's not, I mean, that's not even in any scope, realm, stratosphere, that's not fast. But when you're driving that car with your elbow just about touching the ground,
that's right,
because of the little door cutouts over on the side,
yeah,
the sensation of speed is certainly mm-hmm. there. And when you're going 40 miles an hour, it feels like you're going 80 and something. It's like the sensation of speed on the water in a boat.
Exactly.
Have you ever been 100 in a boat?
I don't think so.
Oh,
been fast.
It's
scary.
It's bumpy. Scary. It's bumpy and it's unpredictable bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you see a bump coming and you go like that. It's all of a sudden the bottom just drops out on you. You go, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, if you ever watched like the V 41 foot Apache V bottoms running through the straits of Key West, and they're out running helicopters and they hit this wave. One, here we are. We're talking about boats.
Now we're into boats.
Hit this wave, came down and stuffed it when they came back and kept going. And they were just fearless, those guys.
Oh, and there's an antique boat show auction coming up in New Hampshire.
There you go. And there's one in, I saw there's a Concours and boat show in Tahoe, which would be so fun to go to. And then there's Keels and Wheels down in Houston, Texas. That is a wooden boat and car show as well, too. That's a fun thing. And nothing, wooden boats are cool. Mm-hmm. And a Riva.
Do we still have one in inventory? We used to have one in inventory.
I think we do.
Yeah.
We don't have a Riva. No. I mean, I have a Riva. It's in my office.
Yeah, your toy Riva.
It's a toy. It's bigger than a toy.
Yeah, it's big.
It's a big one.
And I've got the Ed Sullivan rundown for the Beatles debut.
Oh. Let's hear it.
Georgia Brown joined by the cast of Oliver.
Ooh.
The comedy team of McCall and Brill.
Nice.
Acrobats Wells and the Four Fays. And the piece de resistance. Frank Gorshin.
Gorshin.
Oh, right.
The Riddler.
Yeah.
He was a spooky looking guy.
He was a stand-up comic.
An impressionist.
Yeah. Impressionist.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, did we talk about my Harley last week?
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter.
We can talk about it again because you're unloading it.
I am. I'm
from lack of use.
Lack of use. 9 miles I've put on it since I've owned it for 2 years. And it is a beautiful, it's the prettiest Harley, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
The 2020 Harley Davidson FLDE Softail Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
It's white with the gray accents, less than 400 miles. Last year for the deluxe model, got the Milwaukee 8107 engine in it. It's got a nice low center of gravity, too, which is important for a heavy motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
because I'm short. my legs are a little shorter. So you really want to have that feeling that you've got control. And there's nothing worse than being on your tiptoes trying to stop with a motorcycle.
Yes.
But it's just the classic design. And look, it's a perfect motorcycle for a guy in the classic car business to own.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm selling it.
Yeah.
And my wife is thrilled. And my partner is thrilled. Everybody is thrilled.
Everybody's thrilled. You won't be riding motorcycle
in the parking lot.
Because
you can still get hurt in the parking lot. Yeah. You know, if you're not careful, you have people run right around there in their potholes. And
I imagine if Elvis had lived, this is the kind of bike he would ride. It is so beautiful and
it's
ornate.
So cool. And it, the white wall tires on it, which some things work well with white wall tires and some things don't. And this happens to work really well. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's really a neat bike. I'm going to be disappointed to see it go. Not because I use it a lot, because I like to look at it every day when I get out of my car. When I park back there, I get to walk by it and look at it and make sure that the battery tender is plugged in. I mean, that's the problem. There's not enough time in the day to do all these things.
True.
I mean, you could, but then you would have no other life. And you know, when you go home from here, it's like, you know, there's certain jobs that you do that you don't want to go do at home. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't enjoy cars and driving cars. I do, but sometimes I need to just break from everything.
I get it. Totally.
So that's why I don't ride it, but it's not on the market yet. We haven't put it out on the site, but if you're interested, email me. You can send us podcast at classicautomall.com. If you have some interest in having probably the lowest mileage and the last version and the best color of the Harley Davidson FLDE Soft Tail Deluxe.
Nice.
We see in Formula, you know, we were talking about Formula One earlier. Yep. Andretti's still trying to get in there. They're just not letting him in.
No.
They're not.
What's the drama?
I don't know. To not let a company like General Motors become involved in Formula One when Formula One has become so popular in the United States, much more popular than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And then to deny General Motors to be in it seems a little bit not right.
Mm.
And not just not right, but just a bad business move.
Mm.
You know, you got General Motors who would promote the crap out of it.
Right.
In the U.S., which is their market that they're really strongly pushing, because now we have Miami, Vegas, and Circuit of the Americas in Austin. Three races in the U.S., which I don't think we've ever, well, maybe back in the day there was Watkins Glen and Vegas had a race. Long Beach. I saw the Formula One race at Long Beach. I saw them also at Indy when they raced at the Indianapolis 500 with the road course going the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those things that you'd think that they would be more anxious to let him in and figure out a way to get him in. So I hope they do. They hired the Formula One technical chief, Pat Simons, and they've got this whole building in what's the town in England where all the Formula One teams are. And they're like, they got a huge payroll. They got like 200 people on payroll, and they don't even have they can't even participate. It seems like a little cart horse thing.
Yes, exactly.
But maybe that you have to do that. I don't know. So, but we'd sure like to see Michael and Mario Andretti in
for
Formula
sure.
One. That would be really, really cool. And hopefully it'll happen sooner rather than later. Have you seen the new Morgan Midsummer? It is so cool.
No.
Morgan's teamed up with Pininfarina.
Yes.
And they are building 50 examples of this called the Morgan Midsummer.
Huh.
It's got a 335 horsepower turbocharged BMW 6-cylinder, weighs 2,200 pounds, so light as a feather.
Right.
And if you want one, you're already too late.
Does it have like a retro look to it?
Yeah, and it's got some really cool wheels on it. If you get a chance, and hopefully Randy will be able to put one up on the screen for us. And Randy, there's your directive to put one up on the screen when we run this on YouTube. And
Morgan... what's it called?
Midsummer.
Midsummer. What an interesting name for a car.
Sounds like a ladies' feminine product.
So you want to be? It's like the what was the Fair Lady?
The Fair Lady. That was the Datsun Z car. Was the Fair Lady?
Right. It's an interesting name.
Yeah, it really was kind of an interesting name. And we'll have to look up
also a product
where that came from as well too. Thank goodness. I just read yesterday where the G700 Gulfstream got its certification. So now I can go out and get a G700.
Thank goodness.
I mean, I was just waiting for the certification.
That's it. They called you.
$79 million is the cost for the
G700. Wow.
It costs about $3.5 million a year to operate it.
Yes.
And it's got two Rolls-Royce Pearl 700 engines, each producing 18,250 pound-foot of takeoff thrust.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I don't know if that means, you know, it sounds like a lot.
You know what? The annual expense is really the deal breaker for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd get one, but I'm just not sure where I'm going to be in a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
You can be anywhere if you got that. I had a buddy, a rich buddy of ours down in Atlanta, and he said to me and my buddy, he said, you guys should get helicopters. And we were like, my buddy said, yeah, I just don't know. I'd get one, but I'm just not sure where I'm going to be in a couple of years. Like, that meant anything, you know. But
park a few out here.
Yeah, 7,750 nautical miles you can go on this G700.
Nice.
So we were also talking about Lexus earlier, and, you know, the LFA arguably is the most underrated. Well, it's not underrated anymore.
Not anymore,
but
yeah.
For a long time, it was very underrated. Mm-hmm. And this car is a sports car, speed demon, just
have
sounds
ever had
cool.
one here?
No.
No.
No, we've
not
never
yet.
Had one even in the parking lot.
No. Right.
Well, I mean, we could have.
We may have, yeah.
We just didn't know it.
Big shows.
Yeah. Well, not even, no, not for the show,
oh,
but we may have just
somebody
had someone there driving in or
they're amazing.
Switching drivers or something. And the, I like the LC500, which is the Lexus sports coupe that they, well, and convertible that mm-hmm. they have. And it's the only one that the grill doesn't bother me. That big,
yeah.
big old grill that they've got. It doesn't bother me on that one for some reason.
It's a cool
it
car.
Does on the others,
it's
but man, mm-hmm. and they hold their value very well. They're mm-hmm. still, even a used one of 5 or 6 years old that was 105, 110 new is still 90 or 95,000.
Sounds like you've been shopping.
Well, yeah. Well, I got yeah. the motorcycle going.
Yeah,
so
you got room.
I got a little room. So.
Not for an LC500, though.
Probably not.
A big car.
And the LFA, probably not either.
Oh.
You know, remember the IS was such a cool car. To compete against the BMW 3 Series. Had that cool chronograph-looking instrument panel that
yep.
looked like layered of a watch. And it was just really – and it was built to go head-to-head with the 3 Series, which at the time,
mm-hmm.
Back in the 90s and early 2000s,
yep.
The 3 Series BMW is arguably the coolest – sports, well, what do you, not sports sedan.
Sports coupe, yeah.
Coupe and sedan
yep.
That you could buy. I mean, they were the top of the heap forever. And now, of course, the technology's gotten so good that,
lots of competition.
Lots of competition.
Sure.
Is there even a bad car out there?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Yeah, but I mean, you may get a lemon version of a car, but is there a bad one just overall?
It's just amazing. The materials have come so far, the ergonomics, obviously the safety stuff. It's just, you know, cars, it's just a great time to be alive. It really
is. And I remember being back in the day thinking that, you know, they were starting to do away in the 70s with any kind of performance. You know, Corvette had 165 horsepower.
Right.
Trans Am had 180 or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just, you thought, well, this was over before I could afford mm-hmm. to be a real part of it. Yes, I had a Trans Am back in the day. Yes, mm-hmm. I had some cool cars. But I didn't have the cars that I was going to have when I made a little bit of money. And then we're like, well, they're going to be gone. You
right.
know, everything's going to be.
Even some of the, what was it, the one, two, three, third generation Trans Ams and stuff yeah. were like, yeah, they're okay. They weren't like speed demons.
Well, they were 301.
Yeah, 301.
You know, one was turboed, but that was still only 165 horse
right,
or something.
Exactly. So
there wasn't much to them. And so you thought, well,
it's over.
It's over. And I wasn't making money at the right time in life mm-hmm. to be able to own. And since then, my
yeah.
goodness, we've had so many great cars. I mean, the stuff from, excuse me, the 90s that came out, the Super Twin Turbo,
the Ford Focus RS.
Yeah.
There's Hyundais and, you know, the Tiburon Turbo. I mean,
just
all these,
an amazing cars
there
have
is.
Been out there. And
but
all this
we haven't shared your opinion, your rant. I want to hear if there's a rant. Following the Indy 500, we had a best of show featuring the Tuckers and all
right.
that other stuff last week. But the Indy 500 pace card.
Being
pace
an electric
car,
Corvette.
Corvette.
Oh, is that
E-ray.
Right?
I just don't get it.
I didn't either.
It's electric. It's a hybrid, right? It has
no,
it. Has
no,
an engine.
It's
full
no, Chevy is not doing any hybrids.
Oh, I thought it had an engine and a
gas. That's
yeah.
it.
So.
Mm. I don't know. I figured you'd want to.
Well, there's a whole race that's electric, right? A race IndyCar.
Yeah, Formula E.
Formula E.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
that's
can't
the
hear
noise.
Them. That's the problem with golf carts is you can run over somebody and they never hear you coming.
Gling, gling. Yeah.
You don't hear rumba.
I will say though, I mean, my wife has a hybrid and it shuts off at lights and I know they end restart engine things is controversial, but I love just quietness at a red light. There's mm-hmm. something about it that's very peaceful. And
I don't like it because sometimes I hit the gas and nothing happens.
Yeah.
And especially if I've made a commitment. Like I've rolled
yeah,
out.
Like
and then it's
start.
So I turn that off. But the reason that they have it is not for the fuel mileage. It's for the pollution.
Uh-huh.
Because cars pollute more idling than they do driving.
Right.
I mean, really wide open throttle. But, you know, listen, is a Viper ever going to have an electric motor prop? Maybe.
The next generation Viper?
But think
probably.
About that. I mean, we had the Viper and the Ford GTs, all these cars that came out that we had over the years that, thank goodness, knock on wood, they figured out a way to make them even with the you know, all the regulations and all the stuff that they could and couldn't do. They said, you know what, we'll figure out a way around it. And they did. They did a great job of it. I mean, the Viper and the Ford GT are cars that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. The LFA Lexus, you can just go on and on about really cool cars.
Watch one of the Formula E races, and there actually were sounds. They weren't the normal race sounds, but there were like, you know, it was like, you know, or more of a whine. It was, like, you know, like, phew, phew, phew.
Yeah, exactly. So, next week,
yes,
we're going to have another show. We're probably show number 146. And we might have a guest on, too.
Excellent.
I think, no, actually, we are going to have a guest on.
All right, great.
Yeah, a guy's making a documentary about the AMCs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, American Motors Corporation. So we will see you next week on the Classic Auto Mall show. See you then.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit PatTravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.